Good morning, Drift Run Church. How are you all doing this morning? I hope and pray that the Lord has blessed you. Can you not feel the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit in here this morning? Can you not feel that? I mean, I feel that. I mean, just it amazes you whenever it flows. It amazes you whenever it touches your life, and you can feel it. And God's dealing with you. And I just praise His holy name for that. I praise Him for that this morning. If you would, I want you to turn to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. When you get there, we're going to read one verse, which is the 16th verse. It goes right along with part of what Alita testified about there this morning. If you would, when you find it, please stand. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse. And God's precious word says this to us. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." I'm going to read that again because that is so precious. That's so awesome. Fear not. He said, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than that be with them." Let us pray. Father, I ask you, as I come this morning, I come asking you for divine power this morning, Lord, for divine revelation to preach your word this morning, Father. Father, I pray this morning that you would help me to preach the things that you want me to preach. And Father, more importantly, Father, I ask you this morning to help me to preach, not to preach the things that you don't want me to preach, Father. I pray, Father, that you would send the anointing, Father, as only you can do. I pray for that this morning. Open the hearts and the minds of those that are here this morning, Father. If there be anyone sitting in this service this morning, if there be anyone that will hear this sermon out there on the radio at some point in time, Lord, I ask you, Father, that they would come to know that they need to claim your Son as their Savior. I pray the Spirit would convict them and draw them, Father, if they're here this morning or if they hear it out there somewhere down the road, Lord, and that they would come to know the love and the peace that so many have come to experience through knowing your name, Father. I ask you, Lord, that you would bring that to them this morning, before it's eternally too late, Father. Father, I also pray for those who know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray for them this morning. And that you know that you would strengthen them, Father, this morning. And that, Father, that you would encourage them as well. As your Son has told us in His Word, He said, "Ye shall have tribulation in this world." We know that, Father. But, Father, I pray, it also says in His Word as well this morning, it says, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Father, give each of us your strength and your peace. Father, we ask that, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. There's an old adage out there, and I know probably some of you have heard it. It says this: when you're up to your neck in alligators, it says it's easy to forget that your goal was to drain the swamp. Have you ever heard that before? I'm here to tell you, there are times that there are a lot of alligators that come against us at times. There are. But you know what? We need not to forget that what our goal is whenever these things come. Our goal is to bring the lost to Christ. Our goal is to have all those that, you know what, that come against, that things come against us, that, you know what, that we can show people, show them that God is real and that God is true and that God that we serve is faithful. The title of my sermon is that God always has one more move. That's the title that God had given me for the sermon. I was looking at a painting the other day. The name of the painting is called "The Chess Players." And I don't know, this thing hung over in Europe for a long time over there in a museum over there. I don't believe it hangs there anymore, but what it was, it depicted, what the painting depicted was, it was Satan playing a game of chess against a young man. And what was going on, Satan had the young man had run out of moves. And it was at the end, and Satan was there with a big smile on his face, and the young man was kind of hanging with his head down because he knew that he had lost. Well, this painting hung, like I said, for years. Well, a young man who was a chess master, he gave God the name of Paul Morphy. He came in and he looked at it. And as he walked through, he went through this museum of paintings and he sat there and he looked at it for a while. And as he looked at it, he said his friend had moved on. He said he looked at it and he looked at it, and all once he went after his friend and he told him, he said, that's not the end of it. He said, there's one more move. He said, there's one more move. He said, I could have won that for him. What it was, he said, the king had one more move. Praise God this morning. Can I tell you this morning, the king has one more move this morning? I do not know what your life is. I don't know not what goes on in your life sometimes. But I want you to know this morning, God has one more move. He does. No matter where you're at, maybe you're into your rope. I'm here to tell you, God has one more move. In the scripture I read to you this morning, I want to talk to you. The first thing that I want to show you in this scripture this morning, and I'm going to go back from the 8th verse and go clear through to the 18th verse in this scripture, because it's important that we know this. The first thing that I want you to see is how strategically and how calculated the enemy is. Do you realize that? He comes against you. He knows how to attack you. He is calculated. He knows the strategy that he's going to use against you. We see in this verses of scripture the enemy coming against the children of Israel. We see it. And it goes as they say, and what happens is that every battle plan that the enemy lays out, every single operation that he tries to put into motion, every mission that he tries to do is foiled, and it comes to no effect. Read the scripture down. I encourage you to read this story. How that everything that the king of Syria tried to do, Greg, everything that he tried to do, it was of no effect. And so this king gets upset, and he calls all these counselors in. And he calls them in, he asked them, he said, there is somebody that is a spy amongst us. There's someone that is telling the Israelites that every one of my plans. And he said, I want to know who it is. And in verse, it goes on down to verse 12. And it says this. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisus, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchambers. Brothers, as I'm here to tell you, God had showed Elisus what was going on. He had showed him. He had no spies in there. He didn't know. But the God that we served had shown him what was going on. God of heaven hears everything. The God of heaven, you're saying he knows everything. He knows your even thoughts. And what he's doing is he's letting Elisus know about them. I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers, that he knows your thoughts. He knows the enemy's thoughts. He knows what the enemy has planned for you. He knows that. We don't serve a God that doesn't know. We serve a God that knows what the enemy has a plan for you. So now the enemy, the king, has turned his attention from Israel. He doesn't want Israel no more. He wants the man of God. That's who he wants. So he says here, you see, he realizes that he's never going to get to Israel unless he gets to the man of God. Some of you may be wondering, why is so much coming against you this morning? I do not know the answer to that, but I can tell you this. You may be thinking that the devil is constantly after you. You may be thinking after him, but let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I think it is. Because he knows there are people in your life that if he can tear you down, he can get to them. That's exactly what he's trying to do. He's coming after you because he knows that there are people in your life that he can get to if he can get through you. I believe God can put up a hedge around people. The Bible says that over in Job, he said he put up a hedge around Job's family. And you know what? God allowed us to be taken down. I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe this. I believe this, that you can pray a hedge around your family. Do you know that this morning? I believe that you can do that. But I believe that Satan's not going to come after your family if he can't get to them. He's coming after you. And that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to come after Elijah. Because he knew. That's why the devil fights the preachers. That's why the devil fights a Sunday school teacher. That's why the devil fights a marriage. Divide and conquer. That's what he wants. That's why he does it. That's why he fights those. That's why he goes after moms and dads, because he wants the kids. That's why he does it. That's what the devil knows, that there are times when the hedges have been prayed up around them, and the only way to get past them is to go after the man and woman of God. That's the way he tries to tear and go after people. That's the way the enemy. That's why the enemy went after Elijah. That's why he did it. And may I remind you, when the devil is attacking you the most and the hardest, can I remind you this morning? That is no time to retreat. That's no time to quit. That's no time, because you know what? That's no time to stick your head in the sand, because praise God, the devil's after something just beside you. Brothers and sisters, we've got to understand, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your church, for the sake of those you love around you. You know what? This is no time to lay down the sword. This is no time. This is the time right now that you need to go on the offense. And I believe God can help us do that. In Romans 8:37, it tells us this. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Say that with me. You are more than conquerors. You are. Through Him who loved us. You ain't going to do it on your own. But brothers and sisters, you are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ this morning. Can I get a praise in the house this morning? Praise the Lord this morning. We serve a mighty God. We serve a righteous God this morning. And we are more than conquerors. There are people dependent on you and me. There are people that are dependent on you and me this morning. And I don't care what the enemy does. I don't care what he's trying to do. We need to be determined. We need to be determined, if not for ourselves, for those that we love. First sermon I ever preached was over in Psalms 1. And it says this, "For we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I stand by that, because that is the word of God. Praise God. Well, folks, we need to be fully enlisted as a soldier of God this morning. What I have come to find down through the years, what I have come to find with a lot of people, that they're not fully enlisted in as a soldier of God, Ron. That's right. You know what? They're just in there until the battle starts. They're just in there till the battle starts. And then once the battle starts, they take off, they turn tail and they run. I'm here this morning. We need to be fully enlisted in the battle for Jesus Christ. We need to be fully enlisted to be the soldiers that God wants us to be. Who will say, "I'm sticking in the fight. I'm there. I got your back. Michelle, I got your back. I got it. Greg, I got your back. And everybody else in here, I got your back. Pray for me. I hope you got mine as well." Praise the Lord this morning, no matter how hard the battle gets. Psalms 3:6, "I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me round about." Why? Because we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We are. The enemy is cunning. He's relentless. There's no doubt in my mind he is. Then his attack strategically is brought against you and me. He doesn't attack where you're strong. He'll attack where you're weak. That's where he wants to attack. One of my favorite scriptures. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, if you don't think the enemy knows what he's doing, he knows exactly what he's trying to do. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4. "For though we walk in the flesh," every one of us walks in the flesh. You know that this morning, do you not? Every one of us do. "For though we do not war after the flesh," even though we walk in it, our war is not the people around you. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. My, oh my. We should be shouting the church down this morning. We should be. Our weapons aren't minuscule. Our weapons are not. Our weapons are mighty for the pulling down. God wants His people to stand in the gap. He wants us to stand in the gap. Are you a gap stander today? Can I ask you that? You need to be. Amen. You need to be. Let me ask you this. If you quit, if you give up, who does the devil have open access to then? Sean, if you and Sarah just decide that's enough, I don't want to do this no more. Guess who the devil has open access to? All three of your children. And maybe your grandchildren down the road. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is the way I feel about it this morning. Praise God. You know what? We need to stand in the gap. We need to stay strong. When I got married, my world changed. And yours did too. Your world changed. When I became a father, it changed immensely. And I'm a grandfather today. And it is changing constantly. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, I don't want the devil to have my grandchildren. I don't want the devil to have my kids. I don't want the devil to have my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law. I don't want the devil to have you folks this morning. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand in the gap. We need to do that. And some of you are here in the same position. What would happen if you and I would just throw up our hands? What if I did it as a preacher? What if Jamie just did it as a preacher? Just threw up our hands and said, this isn't worth it. Every one of you, the hedge is down. You say, Dave, yes. Yes, it's that important. Yes, there's more at stake than even you or I can even fathom sometimes. There's a lot at stake. Brothers, and the moment you think the warfare is about you, there have been times I thought the warfare was about me. It's not about me. It goes deeper than that. Understand that this morning. The hedges will start dropping, and then watch out. Watch out. You better get your head out of the sand, brothers and sisters. Get it out of there, because it's not about you at all. There are people depending on our prayers. They're watching. They're reacting to the situations in our life and how we react to the situations in our life. If nothing else, stick in the fight for those you love. There will be a strategic attack against you, just like they tried to do with Elijah here. Now, when the odds are totally against us, what do we do when the odds are totally against us? And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and had gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? You know, I read estimates. I went back and I tried to study this, how many soldiers. There's an estimate there was 50,000 soldiers surrounded that city to get Elijah. 50,000 of them. May I tell you this morning, that wasn't enough. That wasn't even no ways near enough. They could have had the whole Syrian army there, and it wouldn't have made a bit of difference. But they surrounded that city to try. They just wanted one man because they were two they were trying to attack. In my mind, this is just me. I could just see Elijah coming out with a cup of coffee. Coming after his servant comes in and gets it. Oh, man, you need to come out and see this. We're in trouble. I can just see Elijah just walking out with a cup of coffee. Just looking around. He looked at him and said, fear not. Fear not. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what it is in your life. But you listen to me. Fear not. Fear not. Praise God. You really think? And this is why I say Elijah was doing this for. Because you really think that God wasn't telling Elijah about the enemy going to attack Israel? And he wasn't telling Elijah what was coming against him? We know he was. God had told him. Elijah already knew before they even got there. He would have told him. Elijah knew it. And how can I see Elijah looking at his young servant? At his young servant and saying with this and saying this. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Can you just not imagine a servant looking around and saying, really? I mean, can you not? I can say, if Elijah come out and said that to him, I can see his servant looking around and said, "You're crazy, old man. There's me and you and maybe 100 other people in this city. And there's 50,000 of them. And you're telling us that those that be with us are greater than them that's there?" Do we not do that sometimes, Jamie?
Yes, sir.
We look at the odds that are against us. We look at what's going on. And we say in our minds, we say to ourselves, there's no way God can work in this situation. There's no way that I can get out of this. Praise God, I'm here to tell you. Are we not thankful? And people, listen. As people of the living God, we can depend on God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? But of power and of love and of sound mind. Brothers and sisters, again, I tell you, I didn't write it, but I believe it. Praise God this morning. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He didn't give that to us. Romans 3:4, God forbid, yet let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God forbid, let God be true. I'm telling you, I'm going to stand upon the word of God. And if it tells me not to have a spirit of fear, we need not to have a spirit of fear. The God that has brought you this far will see you through clear to the end of it, whatever it may be. That God will do that. We do not have to live in fear. You know what? Elijah claimed him with his word. He claimed it. I can't see, the servant said. He said, I can't see. Look around. He said, yeah, right, I can't see. He says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Then Elijah takes it a step farther, and God will take it a step farther with you as well. Do you know that? And he claims this, and he says, God, give him a vision. And the next verse says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. The trouble sometimes with us is our eyes are closed to what God really can do. Our eyes are shut. We don't look at it through spiritual eyes. We're looking at it through natural eyes too many times. We need to pray that God would open our eyes and let us see through spiritual eyes. Then we'll know that the enemy is not that great, that what's coming against us is not that terrible. Because God is able to take and do what he needs to do. Listen, Elijah's saying, God, let him see. Let him see what I see. Let him see what I see. Let him see why I'm not nervous, God. Let him look at that. Let him see that. Can you just imagine when the young man's spiritual eyes were opened? Can you imagine that? And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round and about Elijah. I'll bet from that point on, I don't think the young man was afraid. I don't think he was afraid. I don't think he was afraid. So you ask, why should I fear in the world we live in? Why should I then fear in this world that we live in? Because if God were to open our eyes to see, we wouldn't be in fear. If we really could understand and see. We all know there's a spiritual realm around us. Oh, I want to ask you this. Did you ever think about this? Whenever Satan was thrown out of heaven, he said he took a third of the angels, right? How many angels does that leave? For every one bad angel, there's two good ones. Did you ever think of it that way? I'm here to tell you, God has a mighty army. He has a mighty army. He does. And I'm telling you, it only takes one to do a lot of damage. He don't need a bunch of them, but God has a bunch of them. But you see, God has covered. He's got our back. That's why. God's got us covered from the back. He's got us covered from the side. He's got us covered from the front. He's got us covered all the way around. If we really let our eyes open and to see what he has for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We say that at funerals, but brothers and sisters, you know what? We need it down here now too. We need it now. We need it now. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Man alive, that right there, no weapon. And again, I just got these scriptures over. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in fear because God's got your back. God's got you covered. You don't have to. There's more with us than with them. There's more with us than what the devil's God of this world, the little g of this world. But brothers and sisters, we serve an all-powerful God. We serve an all-powerful God. There's more with us than with them. You know the Bible tells us that. The Bible says that. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Praise God. There's no different. This servant, listen to me, it's no different for that servant then than for us today. Not a bit of difference. Not a bit of difference when our eyes are open. Verse 18, it says this. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the words of Elijah. You know what he did to him? Whenever God, this is so great. 50,000 soldiers. God smited them with blindness. Elijah goes out into the middle of them, and they're asking. He said, "You're looking for Elijah?" And they said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'll take you to him." He said, "Follow me." So he takes them and he leads them right into the camp of Israel. And then he has their eyes opened up and they're captured. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing what God can do? Isn't it amazing the God that we serve can do when it looks like there's no way out? When it looks like there's no... He can take what the devil had intended bad for you and he can make it good. The devil intended to get Elijah, then he intended to get Israel. And you know what? It didn't happen the way God used it for glory. God, how many of you can testify to that here this morning? I can. There's been times in my life. Raise your hand if you have. God used what the devil did bad, use it for good. I'm telling you, he can do that. There seems to be no way out of your mess. But God moves beyond what we can see. He moves beyond that. You're standing here with your hands. The next thing you know, you're standing up with your hands toward heaven. God, I can't believe what you just did, but I know that you did it. Amen. Been there. We can believe that because the Word of God states that we can believe it. Father, I don't know how you did it, but I'm glad you did it. The devil may have power, but God's all powerful. Amen. He is. For the Lord is great, and he is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. We need to brag on him once in a while. That's why we opened it up to testimonies in here a little bit. Can I tell you something? A testimony is not, it's not to brag on you. A testimony is to brag on God, and that's what it's about. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I think we need to brag on him. Amen. I think we need to brag on what he's done. I believe we need to brag on how good he is. I believe we need to brag on his son, Jesus Christ. We need to brag on God. We need to brag on, why? He's never lost a battle. He's never made a mistake. He's the God of all creation. Amen. He's the God who will make a way when there seems to be no way. That's why. That's why. Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what. Let's give God praise this morning. Let's praise him this morning. I mean, let's just praise him this morning. God, you are good. God, you are great. God, you're the undisputed champion of the world, the universe. Praise God. He is that good this morning to each and every one of us, is he not? He's that good. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God All things are possible. Again, let me ask you, what's all mean? It's all. All things are possible. Praise God. Folks, it's not over. It's not over because God always has one more move. Just like in a chess game. It's not over until the king makes his final move. Jesus is coming back to this earth one day, folks. To that point in time, you have the opportunity. The Spirit, you know, we're living in the day of grace right now. It's what we're living in. Grace abundantly. He'll save anybody through his amazing grace. But one day, that grace ain't going to be there. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's when the king makes his last move. Praise God. Come get a song for me.